Have you ever sat at the end of a runway, run up the engine, and told yourself out loud exactly what you're going to do if that engine quits before you're ready? If the answer is no, stick with me for the next few minutes, because we're going to fix that today. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. It's the final stretch of AirVenture out at Whitman Regional in Oshkosh, and in a day or two, a whole lot of you are going to firewall the throttle and point the nose out of Wisconsin toward home. Some of you have never flown out of a departure that busy in your lives. So today we need to talk about the one emergency that scares me more than almost anything else in light airplanes, the engine failure right after takeoff. Let's walk through this together. Before we do, quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. If you flew yourself into Oshkosh this week for the first time, that's a milestone worth marking. AviationSoul.com, great way to remember the flights that changed you. Okay, the engine failure on takeoff. Here's why this one is different from every other engine failure we train for. When your engine quits at cruise at 5 or 6,000 feet, you have time. You have altitude, which is just energy you saved up. You can pitch for best glide, run your flow, pick a field, and fly a real approach to it. We've talked about that on this show. That is a bad day, but it is a survivable day, and most pilots handle it fine. The engine failure on takeoff gives you none of that. You're low, you're slow, you're nose high, in a climb attitude, with the airplane trimmed for climb, and you have almost no energy in the bank. And the single biggest killer in that scenario is not the failure itself. It's the turn back to the runway. Pilots call it the impossible turn. Some instructors hate that name because it isn't literally impossible. But I want you to keep the word in your head anyway, because the instinct to whip that airplane around and get back to the pavement you just left has killed a lot of good people. Let me explain why, and then let me give you a plan that actually works. Picture the geometry for a second. You lift off, you're climbing out at, let's say, 70 knots in a typical trainer, and at 200 feet the engine goes quiet. Your instinct, every fiber of it, screams, turn around, the runway is right there behind you. But think about what that turn actually requires, to reverse course and get back to the runway. You're not making a 180 because you've drifted off the extended centerline, and because the runway is now behind and beside you, you're really making something closer to a 270-degree turn to line back up, plus the time to correct back to the numbers. That much turning in a glide with no engine eats altitude you do not have. And here's the trap. To make the turn tight enough to get back, pilots bank steeply and they pull. They pull because the ground is coming up and pulling feels like it should help. But in a steep bank, pulling loads the wing, raises your stall speed, and now you're slow, banked, and loaded up at 200 feet. That is the exact recipe for a stall and a spin. And from 200 feet, a spin is not recoverable. There is no altitude to trade. The airplane departs, drops a wing, and it's over before anyone in the cockpit has finished the sentence. That's why we say it. When the engine quits on takeoff, the answer is almost always the same. Nose down, land straight ahead. Somewhere in the general arc in front of you, within about 30 degrees left or right of the nose, is your emergency landing area. It might be a field, it might be a road. It might be a scrubby patch you'd never choose on a good day. Doesn't matter. Fly the airplane to it under control at a speed where the wing is flying and put it down with the wings level and the airplane slowing. People walk away from that. What they don't walk away from is the cartwheel that follows a low altitude stall spin. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. A crash under control, wings level at the slowest speed the airplane will fly is survivable far more often than you'd think. The airframe, the seats, the belts, they are all designed to protect you when you arrive right side up and decelerating. Your job is not to save the airplane, your job is to arrive slow and level. Let the aluminum do its job. Let the insurance company have the airframe. Now, does the impossible turn ever work? Yes. With enough altitude in the right airplane, with a pilot who has actually practiced it and knows their personal number, a turn back can be the right call. But that's the key phrase, their personal number. Let's talk about how you find yours, because this is the practical part you can take home. Go up with your instructor, get to a safe altitude, say 3,000 feet above the ground. Pick a line on the ground to represent your runway and simulate it, climb out at your normal speed, then pull the power and, at a pre-decided altitude loss, execute the turn back to your reference line. See how much altitude you actually burn to reverse course and get lined up. Do it a few times, you will be surprised. For a lot of light singles, that number lands somewhere around 500 to 1,000 feet of altitude required, and it depends heavily on your airplane, your bank angle, the wind, and how quickly you react. That last one matters more than anything. The delay between the engine going quiet and you lowering the nose is pure altitude, falling away while you sit there in disbelief. Startle is real. The number one thing that will save you is having already decided what you're going to do before it happens, so your hands move while your brain is still catching up. Which brings us to the single most important habit I can give you today. The takeoff briefing. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, expect you to manage this. Under the standards, you're responsible for briefing your takeoff, knowing your abort criteria, and being ready for a power plant failure during and after takeoff. The examiner is looking for a pilot who has thought about the emergency before the wheels leave the ground, not one who's improvising at 200 feet. But forget the check ride for a second. This is about your life. So here's the briefing. Say it out loud, every takeoff, even solo. Especially solo, it goes something like this. Engine failure on the runway with runway remaining. Throttle idle, brakes, stop straight ahead. Engine failure after liftoff with runway or usable area ahead. Lower the nose, best glide, land straight ahead, roughly 30 degrees either side. Engine failure above my turnaround altitude, and here you name a specific number, say 1,000 feet, then and only then, I may consider a turn back to a landing area. And in every case, fly the airplane first, fuel selector, and only troubleshoot if time and altitude allow. Say that before every departure and something changes in your brain. You've preloaded the decision. When the engine coughs, you're not deciding anymore, you're executing. Now, let's bring this to Oshkosh. Because departing this place adds a few wrinkles you need to respect. When you leave AirVenture, you're often departing on a specific assigned runway, sometimes with an airplane holding right behind you and another turning final, and controllers moving traffic at a pace you will not see anywhere else all year. There's pressure in that. Pressure to climb out fast, turn early, get out of the way, keep the machine moving. That pressure is exactly the thing that can talk you into a bad decision if the engine quits low. Here is your defense. Fly your normal profile. Climb at your normal speed, not steeper to impress anyone. Know before you release the brakes what's off the departure end. At Whitman, you might have open ground. You might have a road. You might have obstacles. Look at it on the taxi out. Build your straight-ahead plan while you're sitting in the run-up, not while you're falling toward it. And brief it the same way, even with a controller talking in your ear and a crowd watching from the flight line. And one more thing about the pressure. If a controller assigns you an early turn, you comply, but you never comply your way into a stall. Aviate, navigate, communicate, in that order, always. Fly the airplane first. If the engine is running fine, a low early turn is routine. But your emergency plan for a failure is still straight ahead until you have the altitude and the airspeed to do anything else. The controller is not in your seat. You are. Let me give you three takeaways to fly home with. 1. The turn back to the runway kills people because it becomes a slow, steep, loaded turn at low altitude, and that is a stall spin waiting to happen. Your default when the engine quits on takeoff is nose down, wings level, land straight ahead within about 30 degrees of the nose. 2. Go find your personal turnaround altitude with an instructor, up high, where a mistake costs nothing. Then treat that number as a hard floor. Below it, you land ahead, no debate. 3. Brief the takeoff out loud, every single time. Runway remaining, stop. After liftoff, land ahead, above my number, maybe turn. That 30 seconds of talking is the cheapest life insurance in all of aviation, and it costs you nothing but the habit. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive, and I know a lot of you scrimped and saved to get the certificate that flew you into this show. I'm not trying to scare you off, quite the opposite. The pilots who think about this stuff calmly on the ground are the ones who stay relaxed in the air. Fear comes from the unknown. Turn the engine failure on takeoff from an unknown into a plan, and it stops owning real estate in the back of your mind. The material on the turn back and the standards for managing a power plant failure come straight out of the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards, and I'd encourage every one of you to go read those sections again before you launch for home. If you want more of these, you can find us at radiohanger.com. Fly your normal profile out of Oshkosh, brief it out loud, and keep that nose coming down. If it ever gets quiet, I'll see you back in the pattern.